struggle with being truly thankful today? Elizabeth Elliot says, "I'm one who is having to learn this lesson of gratitude. It's very easy for me to pick the one thing that's wrong rather than concentrate on the 10 things that were right." I think we can all relate to what Elizabeth is saying. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of author and teacher Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking with you again today about God's requirements. What does the Lord require of us but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God? God has assigned us to different stations in life, and those different stations call for different practices, don't they? Different ways of glorifying God. When I was a child, I was to glorify God as a child. One of the most significant ways in which a child can prove his love for God is obedience to his parents. When I became a student, it was my responsibility to be a faithful student, which meant doing what the teacher said, doing what the professor said when I got to college, not plagiarizing, not cheating on exams, not bringing in my papers late, not asking for excuses where no excuse was deserved, being respectful to the professor. There are different practices, different ways of glorifying God. For example, all of God's creatures, all God's creation, glorifies Him by being what God made it to be. The wind glorifies God by blowing. The mouse glorifies God by being a mouse, by making a nest in a certain way, by eating certain things, by caring for its young as God has taught the mouse to care for its young. The daisy glorifies God by being a daisy, by its fragrance, by its humility, by its beauty. And God says in His Word that there are different gifts. Men have different gifts, but it is the same Lord who accomplishes His purposes through them all. I will never forget that verse because it was when Lars Grin was pursuing me, which he did for a number of years after my second husband had died. I began to make comparisons in my mind between Lars and Jim, and Lars and Ad and Jim. And I was confused, and I thought, I've had two husbands. Could God possibly, conceivably, want me to marry a third husband? And when I realized that Lars was really on the home stretch and was about to propose to me, I realized I better get down on my knees and ask God what He thinks about this. And guess what verse He gave me? Men have different gifts, but it is the same Lord who accomplishes His purposes through them all. In other words, you don't need to make any more comparisons. You've done enough of that. Remember, I can accomplish my purposes in your life through Lars just as well as I accomplished my purposes in your life through Jim and Ad. Different practices. For example, a policeman and a professor. They have different gifts, different practices, different ways of doing justice, loving mercy, and walking humbly with God. The single woman as opposed to the married woman. Think of Amy Carmichael, the mother of hundreds of Indian children, not in the biological sense, but in the spiritual sense and in practical motherly care. Think of the mother of one, the mother of 10. A policeman has one kind of training, the professor has another. The policeman has a beat, the professor has a classroom. Amy Carmichael was an itinerant evangelist, and God told her to settle down in one place and become a mother. And a Tamil proverb in India says, "Children tie the mother's feet." When I was a widow, I ran my own house, I had lodgers, and I told my lodgers what to do. One of those lodgers was Lars Grin. When I became his wife, it was no longer my house, it was our house, and I was to submit to my husband. In all walks of life, in all circumstances, we're meant to walk humbly with God. That's what God wants of us. Not very long ago, I had occasion to write to a woman who needed some encouragement. She was feeling very discouraged with herself and her failures, and was actually in tears when she spoke to me on the phone. And so I reminded her that we must die those deaths that our failures lay upon us, not only the deaths that Paul speaks of in reference to his own hardships and the things which daily cross our wills and preferences, but the real crucifixions which slay our pride and show us up to the watchers whom we want to help. We're right to desire that we be faithful examples of what we teach, and God knows we are honestly aiming to be just that. But if we succeeded all the time, we would no longer be clay pots, no longer merely human vessels. We need the thorn, the scorn, the reproof, the correction, the instruction in righteousness. I need the letters of criticism that I receive from some of you. I want to thank you for those. Of course, I don't like them. They don't make me feel comfortable, but they remind me that I'm nothing but a clay pot. But inside that pot, there is a priceless treasure, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians 4, and that's what I aim at, to bring to you, you listeners, that light, that comfort, that encouragement, that correction. We need the thorn, the scorn, the reproof, the correction, the instruction in righteousness, so that we might remember the marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that far exceeds our sin and our guilt. We live in a world fallen and broken. We ourselves are born in sin. Who do we think we are? What sort of world do we think we live in? God has laid on you, I said to this woman, the privilege of being a mother. Are you sufficient for these things? Of course not. Your children are rebels too, born in sin, slow to learn. Well, the great lesson of humility comes to us again and again in our failures, doesn't it? Those little things which may seem to be trivial mistakes and yet sometimes can lead to real disaster. Just last week, I was supposed to be at a college speaking to a class at 8 o'clock in the morning. At 8:20, I received a phone call from the professor. He said, "Did I put down the wrong date?" My heart sank to my toes, realizing that I had neglected to look at my engagement book. I was not where I was supposed to be. It was a one-hour class. It would have taken me a half an hour to get there. It would have been 9:10 by the time I got there. It was a mistake. It was a human failure. But my pride was so hurt to have those people in that class think, Elizabeth Elliot hasn't got enough sense to get herself where she belongs when she belongs there. Well, we need the thorn and the scorn. We need the reminders, and it was my fault. It was my failure. But at the same time, I try to learn the lesson that St. Francis de Sales tells us, receive your failures quietly. Tell me about them and leave them with me, God says. I love you, I made you, I put you in this highly conspicuous place where there are spectators, I gave you that place. You must learn to occupy it faithfully, accepting without fuss your inadequacy. Remember that it is I who appointed your place. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you. Do not be afraid. Now, if I were not weak, would I need to be strengthened? If I were not tottering, would I need to be upheld? Humility, humility. Walk humbly with thy God. Well, here are some quotations that I've collected for myself on the subject. Many different authors. To humble oneself before one group and thus be admired by another is not humiliation. Recognition and acceptance of what we are, poor, wretched, and needy. Without acceptance, humility is not only incomplete, it is non-existent. In other words, without acceptance of the fact that I am poor and wretched and needy, my humility is non-existent. Humility arises from one's knowledge of oneself, and charity from one's knowledge of the truth about God. Andrew Murray, great missionary to South Africa, wrote, "Humility is perfect quietness of heart. It is to have no trouble. It is never to be fretted or vexed or irritated or sore or disappointed. It is to expect nothing, to wonder at nothing that is done to me, to feel nothing done against me. It is to be at rest when nobody praises me and when I am blamed or despised. It is to have a blessed home in the Lord where I can go in and shut the door and kneel to my Father in secret and am at peace as in a deep sea of calm when all around and above is troubled." May the Lord help us to walk humbly with our God.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.